God has taken Max and Sherry Griner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Griners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Griner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgrinerart.com. That's www.maxgrinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is Max Griner, Jr. I'm an artist, an architect, and a sculptor, a husband, a father, and a born-again follower of Jesus Christ since the age of 7. Over the years, as I've grown in the Lord, He's taught me how to hear His voice. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, if He ever spoke personally to people, to His children, He still does today. This is part one of a course on hearing God. This course is for those who desire to hear God speak personally to them, more clearly and frequently. I pray these lessons will stir your spirit and cause you to hear God better. Part one was given at Impact Christian Fellowship in Kerrville, Texas in September of 2003. Now open your heart and your mind to the Holy Spirit and what He might desire to share with you.
Related to the Coming King sculpture, but it's really to teach the dynamics of how God can speak and how we can hear Him. And by hearing each other and our testimonies, then that helps us all grow. And so I'm going to answer the question tonight, does God still speak personally to people today? And if you leave here tonight and think He doesn't, then you were asleep probably, because I'm going to present some evidence that's going to be pretty hard to ignore to prove that He still speaks. The foundational scripture for this discussion on hearing God, of course, is John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so basically Jesus is saying that His kids know His voice, and they're following, just like children know their parents' voice, and they recognize that voice, and they can discern that voice from other people's voices, and that's how that they can stay safe and stay in the protection that they have with the parents. Another scripture that this is really going to be part of this series is John 15:7, which says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you might bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so if you think about that, that's the disciples part is, if you're not showing any fruit and making any fruit, you may not be a disciple. And that's one way that we're supposed to test. So as we receive Christ, then we're supposed to be fruit. And finally, the scripture, John 14:11-12, Jesus again says, I say that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And that's a pretty remarkable scripture, but it's one that you'll see has been fulfilled in a lot of ways in our lives, of things that have happened that are just beyond explanation, that are just supernatural. And God does that with all his children. Finally, you get to the place where Sherry and I have been walking this walk so long, you have to say what the guy said in Acts 4:20, for we can't help but speak about what we've seen and heard. And that's kind of where we are now. We can't help but speak. And those of you that know me know I can't help but speak. And so, then finally, that last scripture, Revelation 12:11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much as to shrink from death. And so literally what I'm doing tonight is sharing testimony, and that's defeating the works of Satan, because God will use that and ignite that in your lives to do more things that will destroy the kingdom of Satan. And so that's why he counts on us to do that. Let me pray real quick for us again. Lord, thank you for being here already. We pray, Holy Spirit, you come in power, and that you we welcome you, we love you, and we ask that you guide this time we have tonight, that you give me all the words you want me to say, and let me do exactly what you want me to do. And I pray that Jesus is lifted up and all the people are blessed. And I just thank you now, Lord. And we also pray for anybody that's not born again and saved and going to heaven in this room now, that by the time they leave, they will want that. And we also pray for the power of the Holy Spirit, and for anybody that needs healing, and for your signs and wonders, and just for whatever you want to do tonight. We just invite that, Lord. And we just ask you to come now, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, now the way I'm going to start this, let me ask you a few questions. And these are the questions I'm going to try to answer a little bit. Do you want to hear God's voice? Do you want to hear it better? Do you want to hear it clearer? Do you want to hear it more frequently? Second question, do you want a more intimate relationship with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit? Do you desire to be in the center of God's will for your life, which happens to be where the blessings and the protection are when you're in the center? Do you want to serve God more effectively? But if you're hearing God, is also the question, if you want to serve him more efficiently, if you can spend a whole lot of time doing all the wrong things for the right reasons and just burn up a lot of gas and time and money and energy. Finally, do you need God's intervention and miracles in your life right now? Because if you do, you need to be able to hear the Lord. And so that's why it's important to hear God. And this series will help you, because I'm going to share scriptural truths about hearing God, but I'm also going to share from our personal life experiences so that you can relate it to life today, not just 2,000 years ago. And so I was going to start with the story that some of you have heard bits and pieces about, of how to turn down $400,000 and be happy, which is the story of how God gave me the composition, The Coming King. And this is the composition right here, and there's a big life-size sculpture that I've done, but it's a rather remarkable way God commissioned this. So what I'm going to do is tell the story, and if you can, count the number of ways that you hear God speak. And I counted up, and I think there's 19 different ways that God spoke that I've counted, and there are probably more, but I was able to count 19 different ways that God spoke and guided. This whole story started in June 8, 1998, and I was giving a tour through our studio here in Kerrville, and it was not built, it was a new home, and I was giving the tour to a man named Richard Schulman. And Richard was a on-fire Nazarene pastor evangelist, retired, and one of our prayer intercessors and friends. And we were giving him the tour upstairs in the studio, and the house, the bedrooms looked down at the area where I would sculpt. As we were walking through, he said, "Max, what's next? The Coming King." And when he said that, I looked down through the window, and in that instant, I saw a vision of a sculpture of Christ on a white horse, reared back, with the clouds billowing and his robe blown back like a cape and a sword in his hand. And it was for just an instant, and then it was gone. But I saw a vision. And again, my roots are 40 years Southern Baptist, and Baptists aren't allowed to have visions. And, you know, but that's what I'd call it if, you know, if I wasn't a Baptist. But anyway, so this, I had a quickening in my heart just right then, and I kept walking, and my friend Richard just kept talking on and on and on, but I really couldn't think about anything but what I just saw. We finally went downstairs, and he's just making talk, and finally I said, "Richard, let me tell you what just happened back there about 3 minutes ago." And he said, "What?" And I said, "Well, you just said, what's next? The coming king?" And I turned to look, and I instantly saw a vision of a life-size sculpture of Christ reared up on a white horse, clouds billowing. And he got all excited. It doesn't take much to get Richard Schulman excited. He's worse than me. And but anyhow, he said, "Let's pray." So we got down there and in front of our studio out there and set in kind of a campfire patio, and we just prayed. And we said, "God, if this is you, confirm it. If it's not, let it go away. But if this is what you want me to do next, confirm it in a way that I can understand." Well, a big project like that is very, very expensive. It takes lots and lots of money, tens of thousands of dollars. Just molds on a big piece like that could be $40,000. It also takes years to do. And so when you say, "Hey, I'm going to do this today," or that's actually, you commit a lot of time and part of your life when you do some of the stuff that I do. And so that was a big commitment. And so I felt a quickening in my spirit, an excitement. And Richard and I prayed, and we both felt like it was God, but we still said, "God, confirm this. Because I don't want to go take off on a tangent for 2 years or more trying to do something you didn't tell me to do. Confirm it, please." Well, that was on June 8th. On July the 14th, shortly after that, Sherry and I were in Dallas at the Christian Booksellers Convention, and a man came up on Tuesday, on the 14th, total stranger. He walks up to me, well-dressed guy, and he said, "You're Max Stryan." I said, "Yes, I am." And he said, "I'm the president of a company here. We've been watching you, and my board has just voted to pay you up to $400,000 to do a sculpture of Jesus with some other figures. Would you do it?" And I said, "Man, that sounds good." Sherry and I are trying to build our first house and studio, which we want to pay for as we go and not get into debt, and she wants bathroom, you know, and so we were, and I said, "That sounds wonderful. By the way, the gentleman that helped me do it is Art Leonard's right here and Donna, and they were the ones that, you know, the contractors for the job and did a wonderful job." But anyways, that sounded great, and I said, "Well, tell me about what you want." And this was at 11 a.m. Well, he says, "I want a sculpture, life-size figures of Christ, of Jesus, whipping the money changers out of the temple. And I want to put the faces of the different people he's whipping to be the competitors in my business." Okay, well, right then I got that spirit check in my spirit, like, uh-oh. Okay, and so immediately God took me from trying to sell do a $400,000 deal and explaining to this man, "Sir, judgment is the Lord's. These people have, you know, hurt you in some way. You're to give them to God, and you're to forgive them." And I basically gave him a little mini lesson in forgiveness right there. And again, he was older than me, but suddenly I'm talking about forgiving God and let God take care of what needs to be done. But your position is to forgive them, and for me to do the faces of his enemies in the sculpture that Jesus was whipping, you know. Didn't sound too good. And he looked at me and he said, "You're not going to do this, are you?" And I said, "Well, the $400,000 sounds real good. Let me pray about it." So I prayed with him right then. I said, "God, if you want me to do this, let me know. And if you don't, let me know." And I told the guy, by the way, I said, "I have this other sculpture idea that I believe God has given me of Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse. And I really think I'm supposed to do that next." And he said, "Well, we're going to do this project, and we're going to get an artist, and we picked you, and I need a decision, or we're going to pick somebody else." And I said, "I understand, that's fine. Can you give me time to pray?" So he wasn't interested in Christ and the white horse. He wanted Jesus whipping his enemies. So So I prayed with him, and right in the middle of the prayer, saying, "Lord, if I'm supposed to do this deal, let me know. And if I'm not, let me know." And right in the middle of that little still small voice said, "You can't do his deal." And I said, maybe that's not God. And, you know, and so Sherry comes up into the booth, and I said, "Honey, a man just walked up and has offered us $400,000 to do a sculpture of Jesus with some other figures." And she says, oh, boy, we're going to have money to put the toilets in." And I said, "Yeah, but there's a couple of catches here, honey. One of which is, you remember God told us we're supposed to do that sculpture of Jesus coming and going on the white horse." And she said, "Can't we do that second?" And I said, "Not if God says it's first." And then I said, "And he wants me to put the faces of his enemies on the people in the sculpture and the figures." She said, "Oh." So Sherry and I prayed, and we were still excited because here's a guy with the money offering us $400,000 to do what I do, you know, sculptures and stuff. And so we were pretty excited, but we sensed there could be a problem in this. And so we walked out of the convention center there in Dallas. There's like 15,000 people that come to this convention, the Christian bookstores all over the world. And we're standing in line to get on the buses to go back to the hotel. And as we're waiting in line, and Sherry and I are all excited talking about a guy really offered us $400,000, probably got it. And we're excited and praying and talking, and suddenly a man getting on the bus about, I think it was probably 50 yards away, 40 yards away, he turns as he's on the top step of the bus, looks back at Sherry and I, and yells out, "Max, Max." And Sherry and I look at whoever's calling out my name, and I look over there. The man says, "God told me today what your next sculpture is supposed to be. It's Jesus Christ on a white horse with a shofar." And I was stunned, and I said, "Thank you. We were praying for a confirmation." Well, that man was Richard Onaroff, and he was a Messianic Jew, a Spirit-filled Jew, and he said that he would talk to me the next morning at breakfast. And so that night, Sherry and I, you know, go back to the hotel room or wherever we were that night, and I call my dad on the phone, and my father he's now in heaven, but he's in the financial business, was banker, savings and loans, owned banks, savings and loans, was a consultant for some of the biggest banks in Texas. Very brilliant, but he loved the Lord, was a Christian. I said, "Dad, this guy just offered me $400,000. I explained the whole deal and about the vision that I had and how the confirmation for the guy on the bus. And he got quiet a minute and he said, "Max, don't take the money. Do what God said. You know, turn down the money." And so I got that word from my dad. And then the next morning, I go to breakfast at 7:30 a.m. And here's this Messianic Jew, and we sit together at breakfast. And I said, "Richard, tell me what's going on." Again, his name is Richard Onaroff. He said, "Well, Max, I was just walking to the restroom, going down the aisle and past your booth, and God spoke to me," he said, "and told me, go tell that artist that I want him to do a sculpture of Jesus coming in glory on a white horse, you know, with a shofar." He said, "I came by a couple of times." He said, "I tried once to follow you to the restroom to give you this word, but I never could catch you. And I missed you until I saw you from the bus. And then I delivered the message that God gave me for you." And so then we prayed. And then I said, "Explain from your Jewish perspective the return of Christ." And he just started, you know, speaking all the different scriptures from a Messianic point of view about the return of Christ. And he had it all, the whole deal. And I was taking notes just as fast as I could. So anyway, we prayed. And I got the details from a Messianic Jewish perspective. I had my vision. We prayed together, and I asked God again for the details of this composition. Again, if I'm supposed to do it. And it sounded like already I was telling him, this looks like a God deal that I'm supposed to do. And I asked God for the anointing to do the work with excellence. At 6:45 p.m., I'm walking by a booth, Solid Light T-shirt booth. Maybe you all know Solid Light Christian T-shirts that are in Christian bookstores. Well, anyway, I'm just passing by, and the vice president of the company yells out, his name is Patrick Schroer, he yells out, "Max, Max, did God ever tell you what your next sculpture is supposed to be. And I stopped him that, and I said, Lord, that's weird. He didn't say, how you doing? How's the family? What's going on? He asked specifically, did God tell you? You know, I was having this conversation with the Lord in silence. And I walk over to this vice president of this company, and I said, well, you know, as a matter of fact, he did last night. And they said, well, tell us the story. You know, and I told him about the vision. I told him about the bus. I told him, you know, about the Messianic Jew. And I tell the whole deal, and I look to my left right here, and there was a guy standing right here, and he just was turning white as a sheet. And I looked at this stranger, and I said, man, what's wrong with you? And he said, all night long last night, I dreamed of Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse. All night, over and over, I dreamed it. And I said, well, apparently God's given you the movie. All I got's the still picture. Could you describe it? And so this guy described the movie, the emotion, the seriousness of Christ's face, and the whole, you know, moment in time. And I finally said, what do you do anyways? And he said, I'm a pastor. I just volunteered to help in the booth here. And I said, well, thank you for sharing that with me. So it gets to be Thursday, last day of the show, at 8:30 a.m. I pretty well figured God wants me to turn this guy's project down. And I said, God, I'm going to have to turn down that $400,000, aren't I? I said, couldn't you just convince him he'd really like to have Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse? I got the sculpture. He's got the money, you know. So I go over to the guy. I tell him that I can't do their project. And then I explain why. I said, here's why. And I said, we prayed. And I asked God to tell me if I could do your project. And he said, no. And here's how he said it. And I told the guy. And he was in total shock. And I think he was in shock for two reasons. First, that somebody would turn down $400,000. And secondly, that God would speak so clearly so I could obey him. And so I walked away from that deal. And I tried to talk him into the white horse, but he wasn't interested. All right. Well, now here's the interesting thing, though, is I prayed with the guy, but as I left and was walking away, he said, you know, I've decided when we do that sculpture, instead of the faces of my enemies on all the men money changers, I'm going to put my face and other people in our company and just let it be our faces. So what that told me is God did something in his heart between, you know, the Tuesday and the Thursday that he realized his spirit was convicted that was not the right thing that he had in his heart. But he went looking for another artist, and I left with $400,000. But God is a real incredible God, and when he has real important things for you to do, he will give you lots of confirmations and even let you know you've gone the right path. At 12 noon that same day, a total stranger walks into the booth, a lady named Pat Clary. She was the founder of Women's Ministries Institute in Pasadena, California, and she was with two other ladies I never met before, Sandra Burgess and Teresa Daniel. And they're just talking about my artwork, and I'm thanking them, and we're making small talk. Suddenly, the shofar ram's horn blows. Show them, James, what a shofar sounds like. Perfect. Okay, that sound floats across this giant convention floor, which is about 7 football fields. Now, the person blowing the horn was Richard Honoroff, the Messianic Jew. At that moment, this lady, Pat Clary, suddenly stops talking, starts to almost stutter, and a big tear starts rolling down her cheek. And she said, sir, for some reason, I can't talk anymore. All I can think about now, standing in your booth, is Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse. And I said, it's okay, ma'am. God's trying to tell me not to take the money. And I told her the story, and everybody was crying, and I mean, it was just wonderful. And so anyhow, Sherry and I drive back to Texas. We're all excited about a new composition God's given me, which we believe he's done it. We have no idea how he's going to pay for it, because it's very, very expensive, like more expensive to do than a lot of people's houses, because it's bronze and it's big and it's lots of people, hundreds of man hours. Well, we had no idea how God was going to fund it, but we knew God had commissioned it. So we go get back to Texas here, and we arrive, I think, on a Saturday night. We go into church over at Grace Bible Chapel on July the 19th, and we go into the service, and on the way in, Tommy Carpenter comes up to me and says, "Max, I really sense the Holy Spirit in your artwork." And I said, "Well, thank you, Tommy." We sit down. Dr. Keith Lamb starts preaching on the Book of Ruth. Not a lot of preaching done on the Book of Ruth, if y'all don't know. And we're sitting there hearing the preaching on the Book of Ruth, and we're learning good stuff. Suddenly, about three-fourths of the way through, he completely stops talking about the Book of Ruth and starts talking about Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse. And I look over at Sherry, and I just shake my head. And then he ends his sermon, and he looks right towards us in our section of the church, and he says, "We thank you, Lord, for delivering, for giving us a sure word of prophecy." I mean, again, Sherry and I went, "God, you're just too much," you know? And so at that point, Sherry and I had a real peace about what God had called us to do. We had absolutely no idea how we were going to do it, how we were going to pay for it, some of the details, but we knew God had called me to do that work. And so that, we knew that he'd take care of all those things I couldn't figure out. So I began to plan to do a life-size sculpture, like you see here is 1/6 life-size, that's 18 feet tall. And I literally began planning it and working towards it before I had anybody to pay for it. And you know, it's kind of like Noah, God saying, "Noah, build an ark." And he said, "Lord, there's no water. You know, there's no rain." I had no buyer. I had no way to pay for what I was starting to do and entering into the planning of the project. But God commissioned the coming king in that way. As you will see, there were a lot of different ways that he spoke. Now, I just went through that. Did everybody count how many times God spoke in the different ways? No, you didn't, did you? Everybody gets an F, you know. Well, I'll tell you, okay? And it's probably more. Only reason I can remember what I remember is we keep a prayer journal, and I write all this down with all these details because I want to give an accurate testimony whenever I'm witnessing to the Lord so that I get it right. And so that's why I write it down. And let me just go back to it real quick. I'm going to discuss for a second the way he communicated to me. And the deal is, if he communicated to me that way, he can communicate to you that way. And that's how we can see by hearing and then by knowing how God can do this. And he's such a creative God, he is unlimited in how he can get his message across. But if you're attuned to him, you can watch and see him, and all through your life, you'll see the Holy Spirit creatively guiding you and speaking to you. Okay, let me just go through it real quick. Okay, the first thing was the vision. Okay, pretty rare deal. I haven't had but two of those. But I was looking with my physical eyes, but I don't think I saw it with my physical eyes. I think it was in the spirit, like in your mind's eye. And interesting to me, it was only for a second. It was only for a flash of a second. So I really couldn't get all the details except the clouds billowing, the horse back, the sword up, and the robe blown back where it looked like a cape. You know, and that was in the vision that I saw in that second. Okay, that's one way he communicated. The next thing was the excitement that I felt in my spirit. That was an inner thing. He didn't say anything there, but suddenly I was filled with excitement, a quickening, whatever you want to call it, a passion suddenly arrived. It wasn't there a few seconds ago. Third, when Richard and I prayed, we both got excited. We got more excited. He got excited. And that was in him now. It confirmed to me because he says, "I think this is God. I think this is God." I mean, he was just going wild, you know. That was a confirmation of another person sensing this is God's will, that we did hear God. And so that was the third time. And then we got to the test. And the test was the fourth way God communicated, and that's when the guy offered me $400,000 Now, often you'll find out when God's causing you to do something or wanting you to do something, suddenly there'll be another avenue that'll open up. And it may not look real bad, you know. But God knows we're not omnipresent. We can't go two ways at once. And so there was a test. And I guess, I think in a way, he was testing my heart. What was I more interested in, obeying him or going for the money? And so, you know, I'm not sure if he raised this guy up to do that or not. I mean, but all I know is it worked that way because I had to decide, do I want the money or do I want to obey God? Okay? Okay, then the next thing, of course, the fifth one, when I prayed with the man and the Holy Spirit said, you can't do this project. That was a still small voice. I didn't hear it in my ear, but it was like a thought that was not my own. It was like the Holy Spirit said, you can't do his project. Okay, I heard it in my mind, in my spirit. The sixth way was when I prayed with Sherry for God to confirm if this was his will. Oh, and by the way, it was real funny. There's a couple of funny things that happened about that prayer with Sherry. First of all, when I explained all this, and then I told her, we prayed and said, God, I want a clear word, nothing fuzzy. I remember using the word nothing fuzzy. And then that's right after that, when the guy on the bus says, God says he wants you to do this, you know, tie it to the white horse. But the other thing that was another confirmation was Sherry, when I told her about the faces of the guy's enemies, she goes, sounds like the devil to me, you know. So again, God was speaking through my wife into her spirit, and the red flags went up in her spirit and said, that sounds like the devil. That sounds like a trap. This is a test. We got to decide, what are we going to do here? And then there was one other, by the way, right after that, at 1:30, there was a lady, a man named Audrey Tyndall, and they were Catholic, and they came up right after we said, nothing fuzzy, Lord, and they said, would you do a sculpture of the risen Christ? And I went, well, actually, I just got an idea for a risen Christ, but he's risen and he's coming back. Would that work? And he said, well, no, we're looking for a Catholic deal, a Christ on the way up. And I said, well, I got him on the way down. I said, let's pray about it. And I said, Lord, if this is your confirmation, Lord, let me know. And after he walked away, I remember saying to the Lord, that's close, Lord, but no cigar. You know, I need a clearer word, you know, if I'm going to turn down this $400,000 and do Christ in the White Horse. Okay, and then that was number seven. Then we get to Richard Honoroff. He speaks and says, Max, God told me what he wants you to do for your next sculpture, Jesus, coming in glory on the white horse with a shofar. Now, that's another person that God spoke to that he believed. He was so sure it was God, he tried 3 or 4 times that day to get to me, and he couldn't because I was busy or praying for somebody or talking or something. And he kept trying because the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave him alone. So you have to deliver this message to that artist over there. And he tried. And the way that God did it was even better than him just walking up and saying, hey, God says to do a sculpture. By the way that it happened on the bus and everybody hears it, you know, it was a lot more dramatic, you know. But it was a word given to another person that was then delivered to me. That was a word. He got that in his spirit. And then he delivered it verbally to me. The next way that God spoke, number nine, was when I called my dad. And he's not, you know, wasn't wild and crazy as I am. He's a little more normal. And but when he said, and I showed him there's $400,000 here, there's nothing over here, except God says, be over here. He said, be over there with God. So my dad, in his wisdom, which was world wisdom as well as godly wisdom, said, don't take the money. Okay, I counted that as another confirmation from the Holy Spirit to turn down the $400,000. The next way, was the tenth way, was at that Wednesday morning with breakfast with Richard Honoroff, when he sits down and we pray and we start going through the composition. And again, this excitement, this sense that we were in the very center of God's will was there, you know, and it was just an excitement. It was a joy. It was like, this is incredible. I can't believe we're part of this, you know. And so, again, my spirit was quickened. Now, that wasn't a word that I heard from the Lord per se, except he spoke through Richard to give me all the messianic views on the return of Christ and confirm, because he was fearing, this is God. And remember, one of the last things Richard said is he said, oh, by the way, God also says, hurry. You know, and I said, okay, Richard. You know, and so that was the 10th way. Then number 11 was when I walked by the Solid Light t-shirt booth. And the guy says, Max, did God ever tell you what your next sculpture is supposed to be? Now, the fact that he didn't say, Max, how you doing? Max, how Sherry? How the kids? How what? You know, the fact that he spoke so specifically about what I was right on my heart, I knew instantly that was God, and it froze me in my tracks. So that was number 11. Number 12 was when I looked at the guy to my left turning white, the pastor that had the dream all night long. Now, he had a dream. You know, he was asleep. But he said this dream repeated over and over all night long. All he could get was Christ coming back on the white horse. And so he got a dream, and then he communicates it to me in the verbal word. But again, another confirmation that that's the Lord. Number 13 was the Thursday when, again, I prayed with the man and told him I couldn't take his $400,000. And there was the change of heart that happened with him, that I saw God was doing something in his life, even though I couldn't do his project, that he was getting his life more on course, and I saw God's hand working in that situation. Another confirmation that I was at that moment in the center of God's will. Finally, we get to 14, and that was that lady from the Women's Ministries Institute, and as she's talking, and the shofar blows, which actually is another confirmation, right at that moment, then she starts to weep and tells me all she can think about is Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse. And God used the shofar. He had Richard blow the shofar just at the right moment. He then, the Holy Spirit, convicts this lady about Christ's return, and then she tells me, right that moment, another confirmation. And then number 16 was when we get back here to Kerrville, and Tommy Carpenter walks up and says, Max, I really sense the Holy Spirit is in your work. Now, he didn't say white horse, but that moment in time, all we could think about was what God had called us to do next, and then him say, Holy Spirit's right in the middle of your stuff. That was a confirmation. Now, that one was a little softer than some of the other more dramatic, but I counted it, you know, because it was a confirmation to me. And then finally, when Dr. Keith Lamb switches from the book of Ruth, I did not see any logical transition. But he made the transition. To this day, I don't know how he did it logically, but suddenly we're talking about the return of Christ on the white horse. And Sherry and I both knew, man, God is really want to get this point across to us. And then when Keith turns and looks straight at us, and says, thank you, God, for delivering a sure word of prophecy. See, that's what we had just got through all that, was a sure word of prophecy. And so we left there with an incredible peace and joy, which is like 19 and 20, that suddenly we had a peace, that we were in the center of God's will, and I never thought twice about taking the $400,000. It was okay, because God had a better deal, and I didn't know what it was, but I was, you know, set my face like flint to do what he said and knew he was going to come up with the money, and I would begin on that. And so that's how, with our two life, you know, example, all those different ways that God spoke. Now, let me explain, you know, when you think about Jesus and how he spoke, or how he taught, not how he spoke, how he taught, a lot of what he taught was by example and by modeling, you know, by seeing. The disciples, he didn't just say, I want you to go over here and go door to door, hand out tracts, and tell them what a great, you know, great God I am. You know, he demonstrated what he did by example. And then he used stories, just like I've told you, to demonstrate scriptural truth. Now, the reason he used stories, and everybody knows, is because people remember stories. They can remember, I don't know how wide it is in our brains, but we can remember stories. And Jesus took advantage of that. And And that's why I'm using in this little series stories to help bring the scriptures, which are truths, to life and to our time. Finally, the other thing that I found rather interesting that Jesus did is he took the time to explain the mystery. You know, you get the disciples over and he's going, y'all don't understand what I said, do you? And they're going, yeah. And then, no, we don't, Jesus. And then he took the time and he explained, see, this is what this meant. This was this, bread, leaven, da-da-da, you know. And they go, oh, yeah, now we see, eyes to see. And so in this, what I'm trying to do is really the same way. It's by showing you by example, by stories, and by explaining the mysteries that he's shown us so you can see in the details. So when somebody says God spoke to him, or when you think you've heard God, you can test it out. Now, you know, there's a lot of reasons why it's important to hear God speak. The first is you got to hear God speak to have the best fellowship with him. You know, and in that fellowship is where you feel the love and the friendship and the joy and the excitement and the adventure. And if you're not hearing him, it's like, you know, a relationship with the President of the United States. Yeah, he's there, but you never talk to him. He never asks you over for dinner, you know. You don't ever spend any time together. The fellowship comes through that hearing, and it can come, as I've just demonstrated, in a lot of different ways that you can. It's not just with the word, with the rhema word, with the logos word. It's a lot of different ways that he does it. But it's that moment-by-moment sensing that the Holy Spirit's right there with you. The other reason it's important to hear God is because you can't obey God if you can't hear God in specific situations. Now, certainly he's given us the word, the logos word, and you read the book, and you got a pretty good idea what he wants out of us and where he wants the world to run. But then he has rhema words, which is literally moment-by-moment guidance that he does with his children. And you can't go moment-by-moment without being able to hear him.
This is Max Greiner, Jr. If part one of hearing God has touched your heart, and you want to hear God better by becoming one of his children, pray this prayer with me. And if you do, you will be what the Bible calls born again and saved. But you have to mean it in the center of your being. You have to mean what you say, or it won't mean anything. But if you're sincere with God, he will be sincere with you and give you his free gift of salvation. Now pray with me if you would like to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I believe you died for my sins and you took my punishment. I ask you now to come into my heart and make me the person you want me to be. I repent now and turn from my sins. Please help me sin no more. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God and that you were raised from the dead. Thank you for saving me, for forgiving me, and for taking me to heaven when I die. Fill me now with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, you are a Christian, and God has just changed you and made you into a new creation. And as you follow Jesus, you will become more like him through the remainder of your lifetime, and when you die, you'll go to heaven instantly. And so I encourage you now to get a Bible, Modern Translation, one of them, and start with the New Testament and read it. And you can start in the book of Matthew if you want, and just read a little bit of it at least every day, and pray to the Lord every day. And also, after you get to know the Savior through his book,
pray that God show you other believers and also a good church, a fellowship to worship. Look for a church that believes the Bible, believes that Jesus is uniquely God, and also believes that the Holy Spirit still works miracles today and still gives his gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you find a church like this by again testing the fruit and the root, then you'll find a good place. And also, I might mention at this point, there are no perfect churches because there's no perfect Christians. They're filled with sinners trying to follow Christ and some trying to get to know Christ. So have a little grace for them as they should have for you. And I pray now that the Holy Spirit just blesses you beyond measure in your life and that you grow in the likeness of Jesus. Now, for new believers, part of the inheritance of becoming a believer is being empowered with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those gifts are available to any Christian who asks for them. And if you'll read in your Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's the one place in the Bible where all of the nine supernatural gifts are listed. And when God sent Jesus to earth, he operated with the fruit of the Spirit, the love and the peace and the joy, but he also operated with the power of the Holy Spirit, which is through the gifts, the miracle-working gifts. And Jesus gave those gifts to his children that want to receive those. And so that's part of your inheritance now. And technically, you already have those gifts in you because the Holy Spirit is now in you. But those supernatural gifts do not normally manifest in any frequency until you ask the Holy Spirit to release those gifts into your life. And they're for the blessing of others. And they are power to proclaim the gospel. And so this is part of your inheritance, and it will help you live the life that you need to lead as a Christian. So I'd like to ask you now to pray this prayer so those gifts and that power will be released into your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you now to equip me with the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I yield my will to you 100%, and I ask you to release into my life all the gifts you desire for me to better serve you. I renounce any ties to the occult or false religion. I renounce any religious oaths or curses that I've brought against myself in the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you for forgiving me of my sins and for making me a clean vessel of service by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus, I ask you now to baptize me with the Holy Spirit, with power and fire. Come upon me and fill me to overflowing. I promise to give you all the glory for any miracles you work through me. I receive this empowerment by faith, and I thank you for manifesting these gifts in my life as you choose. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer, you are not only born again, but you have been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you can read through the book of Acts and see how believers believed in Christ, became born again, and then were often water baptized, and then they had another experience with the Holy Spirit that gave them the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and miracles began to happen, and power came into their life. And that's, again, why God gives this, is so you can be an effective witness for Christ and effective in what you do, because the supernatural power of God begins to flow through you. And I suggest now that you go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let me just read most of it right now for you. These are the gifts that you just prayed for and that can manifest in your life at any time now. And here's the scripture, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to read 7 through 12 verses. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. Now those are not natural gifts, like music ability, or art ability, or athletic ability. These are the supernatural gifts. And those, you can expect those to be occurring in your life now. And just keep your heart pure before the Lord and desire to serve Him. And as you just pray simple prayers, God's power will show up, and people can get healed, miracles can happen. And you'll have supernatural knowledge that will come to you from the Holy Spirit to help you bless other people. Now, just a quick word about what those different gifts are, and you can, again, read the Bible and other commentaries and find out more about the specific gifts. But basically, the message of knowledge is receiving a fact or a piece of information from the Holy Spirit, a word about something that you cannot know in the natural. The natural, the world calls that kind of knowledge an ESP, extrasensory perception, but to a Christian what happens is the Holy Spirit will tell you things to help you in your life. This is very common, and you can expect that to happen. Again, if you're already a believer, you've probably been experiencing it and thinking it was a coincidence or just somehow intuition or ESP, but God's kids get this information from the Holy Spirit. The next gift is wisdom, a message of wisdom, and it's really a message. When it says a message of wisdom, that means God supernaturally tells you what to do in a situation, and that you have wisdom to do something that comes to you that you would not have known in the natural from the circumstances. To another, faith. That gift gives you supernatural faith to believe in things that are impossible, and that you really don't have that kind of faith. We all have just a mustard seed, but God, when He wants something done and you're willing, He will suddenly give you faith to believe for something that's just unbelievable. And with that faith that He gives you at that moment, you can pray and the miracle can happen. To another, it says the gifts of healing, and in the Greek, it's the word gifts is plural, and God heals in lots of different ways, but He does heal supernaturally, instantaneously, like He did in the Bible, and Sherry and I and my family, we've seen that over and over and over. God heals instantly, He heals over time, and He also heals through doctors and medicine. And but again, that gift, you can pray, and when the doctors have given up, you can ask for the gift of healing to manifest, and God can heal the person that you're praying for. The next supernatural gift that God releases into a believer after they pray this prayer is miraculous powers. We have seen that repeatedly over the years in our family and in the lives of other Christians, but it literally gives you the ability to ask God to work a miracle. And He does, and it's quite amazing when it happens. But it's miracles that defy explanation, that defy science. It's the intervention, supernatural intervention of God in a situation to accomplish something for His glory. And so that does still happen today, and it actually happens quite frequently at our house. And always give God the glory for these miracles, because He's the one that works the miracles, not us. The next gift that the 1 Corinthians mentions is prophecy. And this is like biblical prophecy of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, it's not on the same level of weight as the Scripture, but the gift that manifested in the Old Testament and New Testament still manifests today. And a prophecy is often a prediction of the future, but not always. It can be an encouragement, but it's usually more than just a word. It's a message for a person or a body, a church, and it's often detailed and involved. And we've had this miracle happen repeatedly too. And again, there are still prophets in our day. That didn't end, that office still exists. But be cautious and test the fruit and the root, because there's a lot of people claiming to be prophets that aren't. And again, one way to test that is find out what prophecies they have said that have come true. And if nothing has come true, then you need to be pretty suspicious. But not all prophecies predict the future, but Paul in the Bible says don't despise prophecy. And that's because it's pretty easy to despise, because sometimes it's a word of correction from the Lord, and we don't like that very much. But prophecy still exists, and he may release that gift in you. The next gift is distinguishing between spirits, and what that talks about is that's the gift and the ability to discern an evil spirit that's in the area or on somebody, or to discern the Holy Spirit or angels. Again, you can't do this in the natural, but the Holy Spirit will tell you, and it's usually in a situation where he wants to help somebody. And he will give you advance notice of what kind of spirit is operating in that person, whether it's from God or from Satan. The next gift is different kinds of tongues. And tongues is a heavenly language that God gives. There's also counterfeit tongues that Satan gives, because every good gift that God gives, Satan has a counterfeit to try to pollute the good gift. But when you receive Jesus as your Savior, and you have God as your Father, and you're praying in the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot have the counterfeit. So you can expect to have your own personal prayer language. There are actually three types of tongues listed in the Bible. The first is the personal, private, devotional language that God gives you. And Paul says, I speak in tongues more than anyone, and I wish that you all spoke in tongues. That's the language between you and the Lord, and he actually gives you the language to pray to him. It's a way to worship him when you run out of your own language, out of English, for example. It's a way to pray when you don't know how to pray, when you just can't figure it out with your own mind. And also, apparently, this prayer language of the devil can't understand, so it's a way to do warfare. And the way this language comes is you just pray in English or your own language, what you know, and then you just ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you with his language. And he will put into your mind syllables, and there will seem like, you know, baby words or foreign words or parts of a foreign language. Just in obedience, say those syllables, and as you say them, the first one, he'll give you the second one, and the third, and the fourth, and a full language will come forth. And you can sing in your prayer language, you can pray in your prayer language. It'll be just like your natural language, that it can come whenever you just simply ask God to pray through you. And so expect that to happen. It's very common. It's often what's called a threshold gift. It's one of the gifts that happens before some of the more dramatic gifts happen, because if God's got your tongue, and can overcome your own pride and intellect by giving you and you submitting to his leading related to your prayer language, then he can also get you to do crazy things like walk up to a stranger and pray for them to be healed. So expect that, and just after this tape's over, just pray in English and then ask God to release that language, and a beautiful spiritual language will happen. But the other two types of tongues, there's the foreign language, where literally God can give you a foreign language to speak, and it usually occurs in a crisis situation. a language that you haven't learned. You talk to missionaries on the field, and that's quite common in foreign countries to missionaries, because the times they're in a crisis and they need to to say something or know something or do something, and God gives them that ability to speak in another language. The third type of tongues is, Paul says, the same as prophecy. It literally is prophecy, but it's given first from someone who has the gift of tongues and gives a message, prophetic message, to a church, a group of believers, and then someone else, or themselves, but normally it's someone else, gives the interpretation, and the gift of interpretation occurs. And Paul says again, don't do this gift in the church if there's no one there to interpret, because it'll just confuse people. But that is the three types of tongues. Finally, the Bible says again that all these gifts are given to bless the body and to empower God's kids to serve Him better. And so I just pray now that these gifts are stirred up in you, and that they will begin to manifest, and that this adventure that's started today will continue through the rest of your life, and that you will just be on fire for Jesus Christ, and you will just walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, finally, last things. Now that you're born again, saved, and that you've been empowered with the Holy Spirit, which is called by many denominations and churches the baptism of the Holy Spirit, now that you're saved and empowered to serve Christ, go do it. Pray every day, read your Bible every day, find a church, get water baptized, and also begin to tithe and to give to your church at least, or wherever you're being fed, at least 10% of your income, and God will bless that back to you. And that's one place in the Bible, in the Old Testament, where it says, just test me in this, God says, and I'll prove to you. And again, we're evidence that that scripture works too. As we've tithed, God's just multiplied all of our finances and everything that we have, and we've tried to tithe. And beyond tithing, God also wants us to give, and so there'll be times when you need to give to someone, whether it's money or a Bible or clothes or whatever, and to help others. Finally, witness your faith in Christ, and remember something John Wimber said. He said the main things are the plain things, and the plain things are the main things. You don't have to be a great theologian and have a degree in theology to win somebody to Christ. You just have to love Jesus and be willing to share. Finally, obey the Holy Spirit and His voice, and do what He says, and He will bless you and lead you all the days of your life. Now, if you just prayed to receive Christ or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, would you write us and let us know, so we can know if our testimony is being effective? And if you would, let us know what God's done in your life since you prayed these prayers. You're also welcome to request a brochure that I've put together, which explains the salvation experience and the empowerment experience, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that just request the brochure, Where Will You Be in 1,000 Years? And we'll send that out to you free. And it has the scriptures and an explanation, so you can have a better understanding quicker of what's just happened in your life. So request that if you've prayed those prayers today. Finally, the future lessons of hearing God will go deeper into the ways God speaks. And if you would like these lessons on hearing God, let us know about that. We also have a number of testimonies that I've given all around the country at churches and colleges and seminaries of all Christian denominations. And those are available too, and we make our tapes available for cost, and just a little above cost, to cover the production of these testimonies. But if you'd like a list of those, then request that. And if you have an interest in my artwork, let us know about that, and just request the art literature, and we'll be glad to send that out to you. My artwork does include drawings, paintings, sculpture, jewelry. I have an art gift line. And basically most of my art now points to Jesus. God's kind of taken over my art business, and I don't do too much secular work anymore. Primarily it's artwork that lifts up Jesus Christ. And so if you have an interest in this, just contact us. Again, my name is Max Greiner, G-R-E-I-N-E-R, Jr. And it's Max Greiner, Jr. Designs, P.O. Box 290-552, Kerrville, Texas, K-E-R-R-V-I-L-L-E, Texas, 78029. Our main phone number is 830-896-7919. That's 896-7919. And our website, which also has an email link, is www.maxgreinerart.com. And that's all one word, maxgreinerart.com. So contact us and let us know what God's done in your life. It's always exciting to get reports from around the country and the world from Christians that have been touched by our testimony, and God has used our testimony to bless their lives. So we keep a prayer journal, and I try to keep track of what the Holy Spirit's doing in our lives and the lives of others that we prayed for. And so if you would, drop us a note and just let us know that you were blessed, hopefully, by this testimony. I just pray now that God blesses you in every way beyond measure, and that you just fall passionately in love with Jesus Christ and dedicate the rest of your life to serving Him. In Jesus' name, amen.